Off the Ball, GAA.
So he knows what it feels like, and that's the addictive part of winning. When you know what it feels like, you want to do it again and again and again. And that's why you need O'Callaghan. He wants to win titles now.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Monday Nights Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock this evening, and coming up we're going to have Richie Hogan in studio 3 days earlier than he's usually pencils to be in. I wonder why we have picked up the phone to Richie Hogan today. It might have something to do with the fact that his county, Kilkenny, have been dumped out unceremoniously from the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. They have finished fourth in Leinster after being beaten fairly soundly by Dublin at Parnell Park yesterday, while Offaly held up their end of the bargain against Kildare. So loads to discuss with Richie from 7:30 this evening. Between 8 and 9, we're going to get the dream team of Andy Dunn and Gerry Thornley into studio with us. They were both at the San Mamés Stadium on Saturday afternoon to watch Leinster get hammered by Bordeaux Begla. And we'll ponder the question, where do Leinster go from here? The eternal question. From 9 to 10 then is the football show. We're going to have Ollie Holt with us. We're going to have Oliver Kay with us as we round up the 38 weeks of the Premier League season. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, Stephen Doyle is in studio with us. Steve-O, how are you doing?
I'm all good, Owen, thank you.
Arthur O'D is here as well. How are you doing, Arthur?
Super. How are you?
Very well. As you've heard there from that running order, we will not be covering Gaelic football in depth until tomorrow night on the show. We're planning something big. We're going to fly a few kites tomorrow night. What sort of kites they will be depends entirely on how much blowback we get tonight. So we can try a few options here. We could go out and try and defend Jim McGuinness from the scurrilous media that attacked him in the media room on in Killarney on Saturday afternoon. We could defend the media, the dirty media, from the reasonable questions that Jim McGuinness put back at them. Whatever you choose, guys, we can fly any sort of kite that you like, and that'll be our agenda.
The social media reaction to what happened down in Kerry at the weekend was just incredible. And there's no nuance whatsoever. I suppose that's social media, isn't it? But it really is, you're one side or the other. And you will defend that side to within an inch of your life. You know, there's nobody kind of giving way either side, is there?
I think it's really interesting because there's been some characters involved in the whole furore around Saturday that are so beloved by their people. So you've got Jim McGuinness, who is an icon of Donegal. You've got David Clifford, who's involved on the Kerry level with regards to two hits that he put in, beloved by Kerry people. You've got Michael Murphy, who's a little bit involved, a little bit of spillover from the league final that manifested itself in the booing of Michael Murphy on Saturday. He is beloved by the Donegal people. So it's a charged topic, given how beloved those three characters are. And I think that's a really good point that you make, Steve-O. Like, I'm quite surprised by how this whole thing blew up on Saturday night. It almost became the GAA story of the weekend, even though Kilkenny getting knocked out of the championship is very clearly the GAA story of the weekend. It kind of feels like the furore around Saturday is almost bigger and has more noise around it.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly what you said. It's not like there's peripheral figures involved here.
No.
There's main character energy all over the place.
All over the place.
And it's even that thing when he was coming off and with Murphy coming off and the kind of game's done and everything, but it's like, it was so unusual. It was so unusual to see this coming off, and because where they came out, because it was hard sometimes to differentiate what the colours were for the fans, because obviously Donegal were all in yellow, so it was kind of, you know, I'm sure it was clear there. But
they travelled.
The initial thought when he was going off and it was Donegal crowd there and they rose to give him like this standing ovation coming off, I thought for a split second it was like, oh, the Kerry team is respecting game. The fans have stood up.
No, much the opposite.
No.
I've never seen a person get that hostile a reaction in Killarney before as Michael Murphy got on
even
Saturday
any dubs.
I think Michael Murphy is more despised in Kerry than Kevin McManaman ever was. That's how far I'd go. Now, McManaman never played a big championship match in Kerry. And the really interesting thing about this is that Michael Murphy only started to get booed after halftime. So there was clearly some belief that there was a connection between what happened at halftime and Michael Murphy running up the opposite end of the pitch and everything that happened thereafter, which obviously is not exactly what happened. But I think
what was the like was it because you know the way sometimes you go to these kind of really, really anticipated matches in any sports, in any code, whatever. And you can feel that the atmosphere before the game starts is fizzing. You know, that kind of intense energy. Was that, was it like that?
Definitely from the players. They went out to get some retribution on Mr. Murphy, it felt, from minute one. Like, Darrow O'Shea wrote that column a few weeks back saying that they should do the old school thing and get him back for what happened in the league final, which is not really a sensible thing to do. And that's what Kerry did. And they had kind of got away with it until the Ferrari right before halftime. And like, obviously what Micheál Burns did was violent and stupid, and he deserved to get sent off. And we'll see what sort of ban he gets, but it's going to be a lengthy one. Everything up until that point they had got away with. And we might well have been sitting here on this very show if there hadn't been 14-15 saying, well, the anger was up and that anger got them through that game and they ended up eking out a famous win against Donegal. But because it spilled over in that one moment, that was clearly a red card offence, red card all day long, that's probably where the conversation starts to become, geez, was the blood too up in this scenario? Well, one of my favourite moments from Saturday, and I don't know if this was pure pettiness, but I want to believe it is pettiness, was Jim McGuinness bringing Ryan McHugh back on. And like, after they had bandaged him right up, and like, he'd obviously got an awful belt and was bleeding from the eye, McGuinness putting him back on, totally unnecessary. The game was done. There was no need to put McHugh back out there, but it was like, let him, you know, get back up off the turf. You thought he was dead. No, he's going back out there and he's going to finish you guys off. I just loved that piece of management.
I was surprised. I was like, oh yeah, there's no need for this at all. But it's a shame how it panned out, because it was, like, to be fair, like, there was a certain element of pantomime to that second half where it's like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Because anytime, I know you can't say this, but anytime like a behemoth like Kerry is getting kind of beaten left, right and centre everywhere like that, there's always kind of a grim fascination to it. But it's a shame we didn't get the second half to look like it was going to happen. It
would have been a cracker.
It looked like it could be a classic.
The one thing just about the McGuinness thing and like the talk of the 12 weeks, I understand why that's become the topic, because Gerard Brennan had been slapped with a 12-week ban, which I think everybody's, you know, very, very aware of. Like, the actual incident itself, it doesn't really seem to be spoken about in this. We've all kind of moved off the incident so quickly. Mm. But it is so, because I saw it happen in front of me, like from the opposite end of it was over in front of the stand, I was in the terrace. But seeing a manager shove a player, it's just so beyond the pale. Like, like when you see it happening, you're like, geez. And like, the first thing that comes to my head is, wow, Gerard Brennan did something similar a few weeks back and got a lengthy ban. Like, take away all the context, all the media coverage around it afterwards, just seeing that happen on the field of play is just so bizarre. And like, that is why, there is a reason why the ban that was handed down to Gerard Brennan is gigantic, is because it is kind of jumping the shark in terms of a moment that can happen on a GEA pitch. I'm not saying it's the end of the world, and certainly it's not overly injurious to anybody who suffered at the hands of either Gerard Brennan or Jim McGuinness. But the fact that you mix mentor and player in such a way is bizarre.
Can I, like, and I'm a man in the middle here, I've no love for either county. The gas thing about it was, I feel that, like, I know David Clifford put in that hit at the start of the game, and that's something that the CCCC are going to have a look at. But the one that, in, you know, kicked off the whole thing at the end of the first half, the incident with Clifford, it was so innocuous. Like, the hooter. Now, I understand it was a hit after the hooter. Okay, that was not good, but it wasn't that bad. You know, he went into the Donegal player. He kind of goes shoulder. He hits him with the shoulder. Now, I know he kind of rises his elbow up, but it wasn't that bad. Like, it was the kind of thing you'd see on a Gaelic pitch week in, week out. And that's why I thought it was just mad the way it just descended into that chaos. Now, like, I do think I can totally understand why McGuinness reacted the way he did, because what happened to Ryan McHugh was absolute skullduggery. You know, the way, you know, Burns goes in there and kind of tries to hide the incident, the way he kind of does it, is, I just think that, to me, that's a really, really cowardly hit. And to see McHugh end up the way he did was absolutely wrong. But also, like, the GAA or the CCCC, when they look at it, now, I suppose the difference with the Gerard Brennan thing is, it wasn't in the referee's match reports, we're led to, or sorry, there's a question over whether it was in the match report of the referee, because Ger Brennan's incident was in the referee's match report. So that's what the CCC are going to have to look at. I know if it's not included, they still have the ability to review it themselves and see where they want to take it. But like, yeah, you know, listen, inter-county football is the gold standard. That's the one that club footballers, you know, around the country, that's where they, you know, this is held up to them as the example. And if you have managers going on and putting their hands on players, it's not right. Doesn't matter who it is or who's done it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it does. It does bring up, and I know Paddy Andrews was talking about this, especially on the football pod as well this morning. Just the number of bodies it highlighted. And I don't know, was it particular to Killarney with the whatever way the sideline, the layout, that it just seemed particularly crowded. And it is an interesting, we're talking, Mick himself talking about this earlier, the additional thing, like when you're there, even such a small thing as being in boots and you're sort of part of it and sort of not part of it, I completely sympathise with the notion of him getting out there from McGuinness's point of view, and he's not alone, but of getting out in amongst it. Mm-hmm. I completely understand how that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's the case, like you'd kind of, Tommy made this point as well on the football pod about like not really wanting to see him banned, but kind of at the same time accepting to your point, like there has to be some sort of expectation of behaviour. I know, but it's like, I know, and I know it's, I like, logically, you can't be doing that because what's the next step? Where do you draw the line? But I do have some sympathy for the emotional aspect of it being like, and I guess that's part of it. You have to hold yourself to a different standard.
And, like, and I did see people make the point that what Gerard Brennan did was like he actually pulled the fella to the ground and all that, and it's worse. But like, people forget that the guy that he pulled to the ground also got a suspension.
Yeah.
Like, he got an 8-week suspension for, let's call it, jostling with opposition players. So he's at the bottom of the pile, the strength and conditioning coach with Galway. Then it's Jim McGuinness, and then it's Gerard Brennan. So he's somewhere in the middle of those two incidents in terms of the severity.
And there was a Mary Ishka involved on Saturday as well, wasn't there? And you could see
there
the footage.
There was far too many people involved.
Yeah.
The one thing, just to finish this up, the last thing, just on the Clifford thing, I saw Donny Smith say on the show this morning that there could be some retrospective action for David Clifford. He said it was similar to the red cards Darragh Craig got in the Bronx this year. The one thing is that Darragh Craig got red carded on the spot. Like, that's there is a difference here. Yeah. Like, to go back and retrospectively ban Clifford for that, I think that would set an extraordinary precedent.
Yeah.
And I think we could be on a very slippery slope then if that were to be the case. I heard James Donoghue saying the football pod, he thought it could have been a red card. I thought it was a yellow myself, but anyway. Pat's been in touch to say the hit after the hooter wasn't bad, but Donegal had enough of Kerry's bullying tactics at that point and it blew up. How do you feel about the booing of Murphy, Owen? Don't feel great about it, Pat, to be honest with you. I've never been a fan of booing of a GAA player. One of my pet peeves in Gaelic games is the booing or jeering of any free taker. I don't want like full on shushing like Twickenham or like in a D4 pub during the Six Nations, but just like don't boo people. That's it.
Throwing stuff at the free taker.
Yeah,
you don't want to see that kind of thing either.
It's amazing how Dubs managed to hold grudges over all Ireland's that they actually won. Steve, we should get stuck into tonight's news round because our top story tonight, massive Dublin derby, and it comes with added significance.
Yes, the famous Old Ground in Fitzroy hosts the last men's game between Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers before the stadium rebuild gets underway. The Dublin Derby, of course, is the most intense and biggest fixture in the SSE Electricity Premier Division calendar, but tonight's one carries extra significance. The sides first met at the home of Irish football back in January 1950. I feel like I should put on my Ronnie Drew voice here. Back in the home of Irish football in January 1915, it was the year before Connolly and Pearson brought an empire to its knees. John McCormack was storming the charts with "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." No, I'm only joking. The women's teams will clash in the league, of course, to bring the curtain down on the old stadium before redevelopment work begins at the end of the year. Bow's currently in third place and just 3 points behind Rovers, who are top of the table going into the game. So I can give you the teams, and the big news is that Ed McGuinty starts in goal for Shamrock Rovers. He was called up to the Republic of Ireland squad, and head coach Stephen Bradley suggested last week he was happy to let him and winger Adam Brennan join up with the Irish squad this week. However, McGuinty has been held back and plays behind a back three of Sabawali, Grace and Stevens, with wing backs Danny Grant and Jake Mulraney. Matt Healy's overcome an ankle problem and plays midfield with Jack Byrne, while Arsenal bound Victor Osimhunvuna and Graham Burke will play off the veteran striker Aaron Green. Haraska's in goal for Bows, who have a back four of power, Hickey, Byrne and Flores, with Dawson Devoy and Diallo in the middle, while Colin Whelan starts up front, supported by Rooney, Tierney and Parsons. Douglas James Taylor starts on the bench for Bowes. Now, Devoy was also included in the Irish senior squad for next week's friendly match against Canada. His assistant boss at Daly Mount Park, Stephen O'Donnell, has been praising his playmaker ahead of tonight's game.
Look, I think everyone knows Dawson's quality, but the best thing about him is his attitude, of what he brings to us every day in training. He's so modest in regards to his work rate. He just goes about his business. He's, for Alan, the manager, he's a manager's dream. He never gives you an ounce of trouble, and you know, he leads by example. He's a quiet man, but he leads by example with his actions, and he's a joy to sort of coach and manage, and he's a great teammate, and long may that last with him. And I don't think he'll ever change. That's just the type of boy he is.
Yeah, he played some sensational stuff away to Galway there on Friday night. So that game kicks off at 8, while at 7.45, Derry City entertain Shelburne. Shells are looking to make it 3 consecutive league wins and move above Dundalk into 4th place. A City win would see them leapfrog Shells in the table.
You're off to Dalymount?
I sure am. Cannot wait. Going to hop on the Lewis now, straight after the news round. And it could not be set up any better. It's scorching hot out there. What are we going to be, around 20 degrees, I think, when kickoff happens? And, Rovers not in great form coming into this game. They've lost their last two matches. Of course, Sligo Rovers on Friday night, Arthur, did the job out in Tallaght Stadium. If you look at this logically, the way Bowes are playing coming into this and the way Rovers are playing, it should be a Bowes win. But mad stuff happens in this fixture. I know it's a cliche, but mad stuff happens in this fixture. And I would not be predicting, I could see a high scoring draw, but I think we're in for a really good game tonight.
Massive week in the League of Ireland. Rovers versus St Pat's on Friday evening as well.
Yeah.
Now, a number of withdrawals from the Republic of Ireland squad ahead of the games this week.
Yep, total of 5 players have pulled out. Southampton pair Ryan Manning and Finn Azaz, along with Sunderland midfielder Alan Brown, of course, who's been on loan at Middlesbrough, will not be joining up with the squad this week. Borough's Alex Gilbert and Andrew Omobamideli of Strasbourg are also out ahead of the match on Thursday with Qatar at the Aviva Stadium. Hibernian's Jamie McGrath and Killian Phillips of St Mirren have been drafted in for both matches. The skipper of Premier League bound Ipswich Town, Dara O'Shea, and Jack Moylan will only be in for the Dublin match, while the aforementioned Devoy and Connor Coventry will be in for the Canada game in Montreal next week.
Now then, on to Arsenal after their trophy lift yesterday. Mikel Arteta has been speaking.
Yeah, their attention now has turned to Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League final this Saturday. They won their first Premier League title in 22 years yesterday, finishing the season with an away win against Crystal Palace. The Gunners have never won a European Cup, and Arteta believes his team are carrying momentum going into the biggest knockout match in club world football.
We talked about already what we have to do in Budapest, how we're going to use all the incredible energy that we're all carrying towards that final. We need to go through the motions and do what we've done all season, which is win football matches. We win one more and we are the champions of Europe.
There was a moment yesterday that was quite like a FIFA glitch when David Raya came out wearing his goalkeeper gloves for the trophy presentation. He wasn't in the squad yesterday. I guess force of habit, maybe. And then had actually taken them off a little while later. So he'd gone to the trouble of getting properly set. And then by the time he's talking to Jens Lehmann, he's got his gloves off, holding the microphone.
It's all down to John Terry, isn't it? Didn't Tyrone Mings put on the full kit there last week for Villa's trophy? I don't know, anyway.
I mean, yeah, but putting the gloves on, extra John Terry would be proud of David Raya's behaviour, I think, yesterday afternoon. The big story, though, is Tottenham surviving on the final day of the season. So what's been said by the club's bosses?
Well, the Tottenham board has promised to build a squad for Roberto De Zerbi, which enables the club to compete at the highest level after narrowly avoiding relegation to the Championship. A letter to fans from the non-executive chairman, Peter Charrington, states how they are committed to investing in multiple transfer windows starting this summer. Charrington also confirmed that despite rumours, the club is not for sale and the Lewis family is fully behind a rebuild.
What did we think about this yesterday? It did seem that there was nerves infiltrating the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium when West Ham went 1-0 up, but it just never really felt until the last 10-15 minutes anyway that Everton were going to threaten.
Yeah, I kind of felt once Spurs scored was it. I just didn't. It's very hard to imagine what would have motivated Everton to come back.
Saving West Ham for Moyes, but he wasn't on the pitch.
I'm not sure. It's a slightly underwhelming end to it all, isn't it? I think it would have been ultimately more satisfying had Spurs gone down, just from a narrative point of view. I've no vested interest in it, but just purely it's unfortunate. But it's so interesting. Just when you consider, like, is this a blip? It's like finished 17 twice in a row. It's like, when does a blip become a trend? Like, where are they next season? Like, what's success? Like, or what's realistic success? How high can they go?
I don't know. Like, if you're being unbelievably optimistic, maybe doing what Bournemouth and Brentford and Brighton and Brentford didn't qualify for Europe. Who was the third team that got the
Brighton?
Sunderland. Doing what they did this season, next season, and given their wage structure and the amount that they spend per week on their players, they should be capable of doing that. So qualifying for Europe, I think, should be the.
I guess just the interesting
and ambitious target for them.
You have to pass out so many other teams now. Just that it's like, I don't know if...
You're leveling on points with them right now though, Arthur.
You are. No, you are. Right, you are.
One of my favourite statistics from yesterday, I think it was the BBC who had this up. Tottenham Hotspur have managed back-to-back 17th place finishes for the first time since 1910. I just love the structure on that. Managed back-to-back 17th place finishes. And the fact that it's happened before is quite remarkable as well. So will it be lower than that or will it be higher than that? I think it's got to be. I think next season under De Zerbi will be a lot better for
Mason Neely firing Tottenham into the Champions League qualification places.
That's it.
Wouldn't that be great?
It's written. On to Lionel Messi then. What's going on?
Well, the Inter Miami head coach Guillermo Hoyos believes Messi's injury isn't serious despite fears it may impact his World Cup. The Argentine forward limped off during their 6-4 win over Philadelphia Union in the MLS with an injury to his left leg. This year's tournament will be the former Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain player's sixth if he is included in their squad.
Now then, which player has been confirmed out of Munster's URC quarterfinal?
Yeah, major blow this one. Unfortunately, out half Jack Crowley is unavailable for selection with a leg injury. Head coach Clayton McMillan described it today as an obscure leg injury, so Crowley remains on the sidelines. The Munster squad continued preparations at their high performance centre today ahead of Saturday's last day clash with the Bulls. The travelling group will depart for South Africa tomorrow and are due to arrive in Pretoria on Wednesday afternoon. There was some good news on the injury front with Finian Wycherley and Alex Nankivell both back training after withddrawing from the matchday squad to face Lyon.
We have a Talton Cup draw.
Yeah, the 2024 winners Down will travel to Longford. Wicklow and Tipperary will meet Knockram. London have home advantage against Sligo, while Leitrim will play Wexford. The draw for the preliminary quarterfinal was also made, with New York now travelling to Brewster Park to take on Fermanagh. Those games will be played on the weekend of June 6th and 7th, with the quarterfinals taking place on the following weekend. Antrim, Laois and Offaly have already secured their spots in the last eight.
Weekend in London, Arthur?
I think it's the same weekend as the Provincial Hurling Final, isn't it? Hope it doesn't take the shine off.
Yeah.
Now then, finally, you've got some tennis news.
Yeah, world number two Yelena Rybakina and four-time champion Iga Świątek are both into the second round of this year's French Open. Rybakina got past Veronika Erjavec in straight sets, while Iga Świątek beat Australian Emerson Jones. Rome champion Elina Svitolina battled back from a set down to defeat Anna Bondar in the third set tiebreak. And meanwhile, 2015 men's singles winner Stan Wawrinka said au revoir to Roland Garros today. The 41-year-old Swiss played his last French Open match in front of a packed crowd, losing 6-3, 3-6, 6-3, 6-4 to Jesper de Jong. Alex de Minaur and Francis Tiafoe were among the seeds who won their opening matches in the men's singles today.
Stephen Doyle?
I thought he was long gone.
Who?
The Wawrinka.
Yeah, 41. Still swinging the racket.
Unbelievable. Steve, we're going to let you get the Lewis. Enjoy tonight.
Thank you very much, all. I'll try.
Whichever team you support. The news round.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.